This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, Doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
Good evening and welcome to Rock and Roll Autopsy. We are the Forensic Files on your radio dial. My name is Scott, and have we got a great show for you tonight? No, we don't. Damn it. The phone is ringing again. It's the request line. All right, let's pick it up. WRNRA, east of the Rockies. Hey, breather, what's going on, man? You can't stand these pathetic wannabe rock stars lusting after the fame, fortune, and success of others while glamorizing debauchery and excess? Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Just talentless posers. What do you mean at least those inept, unambitious hacks can always start a shitty rock and roll podcast? Listen, you called the request line. Is there a song you'd like us to perform an autopsy on? Rockstar by Nickelback? You got it. All right, buckle up, gang. The subject of our rock and roll autopsy tonight will be Rockstar by commercially successful Canadians Nickelback. We'll get the show started after these very important messages from our sponsors.
What's up, music nerds? Are you tired of wading through a sea of mediocre music, desperately seeking to find a glimmer of greatness? You're in luck. My name is Mark, and I am the host of the podcast, Songs That Don't Suck. Each week, I scour the depths of new music playlists to unearth hidden gems that defy the trends and deliver pure sonic bliss. No matter the genre, if it doesn't suck, it's on my radar. So find us on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today. And as always, keep searching for and listening to Songs That Don't Suck.
Breaking news!
What is this garbage you're watching? I want to watch the news. This is the news.
All right, gang, we've got our intrepid rock and roll beat reporter, Rico Ganew, on the line from a remote location with the news. Rico, how are you?
Double secret location. Cannot disclose where I am, but I am good. Feeling good. How are you doing?
You're like one of those reporters embedded in a war zone reporting on rock and roll.
It's correct, man. Like, I'm dedicated to my craft. I make sacrifices, risking bodily harm to bring the people what they need, Scott.
Oh, good for you.
Let's do it. Okay, so first on the list, welcome back Mike Portnoy. Mike Portnoy back in Dream Theater. I know that Prague and Dream Theater is not exactly your wheelhouse, but I'm a giant Dream Theater fan. This has been kind of the peoples out there have been wanting this for a really long time. Listen, Mike Mangini is an elite, super technically elite drummer, but the fact of the matter is the band has not been the same without Mike Portnoy. He's just got this extra, like, if Mike Mangini is a really delicious cupcake, here comes another food analogy. If Mike Mangini is a delicious cupcake, Mike Portnoy is that same delicious cupcake, except with some really awesome party sprinkles on top. And he just has this extra feel that Mike Mangini is just not having. He's a little too robotic. And I think the band has suffered. But anyways, Do you have any thoughts on this? Because I could talk for an hour about this, but the bottom line is I feel like I needed to mention this because it's really giant news in the prog rock world. Welcome back, Mike Portnoy. I think Dream Theater and all of its fans will definitely benefit from this.
I just wonder what becomes of Mr. Point Noise? Mr. Portnoy's other projects. Sons of Apollo, Winery Dogs, fucking Twisted Sister. All the other bands he sat in on and as a part
I think Avenged Sevenfold too. I think he's did some stuff with them.
He has. Yeah. So I guess all that's gone.
Well, it's all gone. I think this is the right decision. Listen, he did more, you know, this is Captain Obvious stuff, but you know, he did a lot of other stuff too. Like, you know, he did a lot of the management type of stuff. He did the set lists every night. He contributed lyrically and he contributed to the songwriting. And Mike Mangini was essentially just a Mike Portnoy clone, except just not quite at the same. So anyway, I think that's a really good thing. In fact, this is, I don't want to say this about too many bands in this stage of their career, but if they, these guys are creative enough, they're going to put out new material. But if they just, since Mike Portnoy's back, if they just went on a 15-year nostalgia tour, I think everybody would be super thrilled with that. That's the level of this. But anyway, welcome back. Hey, I got something in your wheelhouse, dude. You ready for this?
Ready.
Rolling Stones' new album, Hackney Diamonds, out, full. I listened to it. You listened to it. I got to hear what you think about this.
I didn't really want to listen to it. Unlike the Dark Side of the Moon Redux, where I was listening to it at midnight, moments after it was released, I didn't really want a new Stones album. I mean, it's been like, what? It's been a long time. It's been over a decade, right? Since the last record. Something about, I don't know, why is it that like an 80-year-old Roger Waters I'm okay with, but 80-year-old Rolling Stones record, I've just, something doesn't set right with me there. I got worried when I saw that Andrew Watt was producing it because he's like the go-to producer guy now, which isn't a bad thing, but it's like producer by committee. And I had a bad taste in my mouth from that Ozzy Osbourne Patient Number 9 record, which he produced, and like every song had 15 writers on it. And I was worried that it was like, you know, groupthink to death. Like it was a album coming from a board of directors and not from Jagger and Richards. So I didn't want to listen to the record. I had no desire to. So I'll plug another podcast. There's a podcast called The Rock and Roll Geek Show. And he reviewed the record on there, and on it he played snippets of it, which you're not supposed to do, but he always does. And I don't know how he gets away with it, but Michael Butler is the host's name. He's bass player. He's been in like famous bands. He was in Exodus. He's in a bunch of bands. But anyway, he reviewed the record, and I was listening to it, and I was like, God damn. It's fucking good, man. And Andrew Watt, only he has writing credits on the first three tracks, and the rest of the album is Jagger Richards. And I didn't listen to it a bunch. I can't give an exhaustive review. I don't know how I'll feel about it after I've listened to it 10 times. I've only listened to it in its entirety one time. So it's just like a first impression thing. And my first impressions are, is that it's really good. And that Mick Jagger sounds absolutely like amazing. Like he's carrying the band, you know?
Yeah, I only listened to one. I'm not going to pretend to be, you know, I think we talked about this off mic, but I'm not going to pretend to be this super Rolling Stones expert. I am a fan, casual fan. I probably should be more of a fan, but I'm not going to pretend to have some expert breakdown analysis of this album. But I did listen to it once, like you did, and I'm stunned. I can't believe that these guys are like 150 years old and they sound this fucking good, man. Like Jagger, like really, I was thinking about it as I was listening to the album. he sounds pretty much the same as he sounded in the fucking 60s and 70s, dude, like 40, 50 years ago. He sounds the same. I don't know how these guys are doing it, man. They sound, I mean, you know, it's largely, in, I think that it's largely because of the type of rock that they play. There's nothing super complicated about it. It's something that you could just keep doing forever and ever, and you could be 100 and have arthritis and probably still play those chords and that type of music. But damn, they sound good. And you know what? I'm not a giant, I mean, let me take that back. I really respect Lady Gaga for her talent. I've never really gone out of my way for anything that she's done, but the song that she's on in this album, I think is perfect for her, man. She sounds, what a great duet between her and Jagger. I mean, she sounds great on the song that she's on in this album. So I didn't know what to expect, but I think they, like, you know, I think they sound amazing. I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna listen to it a few more times when I'm walking the dog, but I'm impressed, man. I don't know, again, I don't know what I'll think of it 10 years from now. It might not matter, who knows, but 10 years from now they'll more than likely all be dead, so I guess it doesn't matter. But
hey, one more quick one before we take a break. The as of this recording, the new and final Beatles song, Now and Then, is out. This is a song, everybody knows the story. It was a John Lennon demo in the 70s. This is the famous Paul McCartney discussion about AI was going to create a song, and really it was just used to extract Lennon's vocals, yada, yada, yada. We've all heard this story. Do you have, I have kind of a small, short opinion about this song. I'm assuming you listened to it. Do you have any feelings about this? Do you like it or don't like it?
Didn't listen to it.
Okay. It's okay. You're not missing much. Well, and let me just say this. No. It was a demo for 40 years for a reason. It's just a boring song. I think the way they did the vocals, I don't know if the AI had anything to do with it, but the vocals sound muddy and not great. And the song is largely super duper freaking vanilla and boring. I know why they did it, because they could. It was a cool little project. But the song is just boring and vocally muddy and not that good, to be honest with you. So if you want to check it out at some point in time, maybe you want to wait for the Peter Jackson video. But if you don't ever want to listen to it, there's a bunch of other good ones that are worth listening to. So any other final thoughts on them bringing this project to life via AI?
I had no desire to listen to this, even less than the Rolling Stones record.
Get off my lawn.
I mean, I suppose at some point in my life I'll come across it, but I have no desire to hear it. I'm totally okay with leaving the Beatles in 1970. I don't need them in 2023 making music. I don't need it. So I don't want to hear it. I have no interest in it. I think it's kind of dumb to do it, but if that's what they want to do, so be it. But it doesn't interest me at all.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they successfully created a song with the four of them on it, way, way, way after the fact, using computers to do that. But its song is just, it's just not good. But anyway, that's enough about that. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk about Nickelback, dude, when we get back. So stay tuned.
Looking for a good rock and roll book? Do you watch a ton of rock and roll documentaries like I do? Well, that's why I started the Rock Talk Studio podcast, to be the place to go for previews, reviews, and recommendations of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies. Every first Tuesday of the month, the Rock Talk Studio gets you caught up on all the latest and points out where to go for the good stuff. Give me 20 minutes and I'll get you caught up on the world of rock and roll books, docs, and movies from every possible angle, and leave you with a no-doubt decision on where to spend your time and money. Fan or just casual fan, or maybe you're on the fence and just looking for something new to check out, either way, I got you covered. Recently on the show, I've talked about books and documentaries from everyone and everything from David Bowie, Randy Rhoads, and the Allman Brothers, to the Abbey Road Studios, Cheap Trick, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Little Richard, and more. Join me, Big Rick, every Tuesday of the month as I host a Rock Talk Studio podcast, the ultimate review of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies.
Our Mind on Music is a podcast that covers all things music. We cover all genres, and we welcome all perspectives, from musicians, producers, and content creators to music enthusiasts. We have discussions, interviews, opinions, and much, much more. We hope you'll join us every week, Our Mind on Music, on YouTube and all streaming platforms.
We are gathered here to remember rock and roll. Rock was born the rambunctious son of country, western, and blues. In the year of our Lord, 1955. On this day, the birth of rock and roll gifted unto the world a gyrating pelvis, a throbbing beat, and a pulsating rhythm. A sound so infectious and rollicking that it would endow previously scrupulous young minds with identity, individualism, and purpose, thus setting forth a multi-generational pursuit of all that is loud, debaucherous, and unholy. But, sadly, like all earthly endeavors, rock too must perish. Oh, we mourn the loss of rock and roll, with its ridiculously old standard bearers still on tour and charging ungodly amounts of Mad Jack to witness their long past the sell-by date asses on stage, and with its chauvinism, misogyny, and whiteness no longer aligning with modern sensibilities, and with its aging, fist-shaking fan base kicking every would-be rocker off their proverbial lawn, rock has indeed passed into the celestial void. May rock rest in peace in eternal cacophonous slumber. Amen.
Thank you for that, Scott.
You are listening to the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
The Autopsy Report.
All right, gang. By the way, thanks for tuning in. This is our 99th episode. We got a big one planned for the next episode. It'll be our 100th, so do not want to miss that. Got something special planned for you. But thanks for listening. Very much appreciate it. Go grab somebody that has never listened to us and handcuff them to yourself and make them listen. I think they'll enjoy it. But anyways, Scott, we're going to be talking about Rockstar by Nickelback. It's off the album All the Right Reasons. Roadrunner's the label. The song is a juicy 415, produced by the band and Joey Moy, released August of 2006. It's Rockstar, dude. But did it kill rock and roll? I don't know. That's why we do this, so that we can try and figure that out.
I don't know how to even behave doing a song that's like from 2000 anything, really, but especially like, when did this come out? What'd you say? 2005?
2006, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's about 20 years older, newer than just about all of our other ones.
It is. I mean, what's it like to be in the aughts talking about, did music still exist in the aughts? I don't know.
Good question.
Nickelback. So this is like one of the most hated bands around.
That's right.
Right.
Forget about what Corey Taylor says. Forget about how much this band is hated. They're very much hated. I'm still trying. I don't even like him that much. Do you understand the whole hatred thing?
I don't know why. I mean, let's look, they're hated, but somebody's buying these records. I mean, they sell a gazillion records in an age when no one buys records. So, I mean, they do pretty well for themselves. So somebody listens to them, but
true.
I mean, I don't really get why they're hated so much, other than that they're just popular and kind of milquetoast. So maybe there's some resentment there. I don't know. I mean, I don't care for them, but that's just because to me they sound like literally everything else that's been out the last 20 years. Maybe that's why they're hated, because they've become like they're like the poster children for dying rock and roll. I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But we're going to put all of that aside, because opinions about how anybody feels about the band doesn't matter. in this autopsy. This is pure science, dude.
All right, well, let's use that science. We have crafted over almost 100 episodes this proprietary scientific formula. It's important that this is only practiced by seasoned and knowledgeable pros, of which you are in the presence of two. That would be Rico and I. We can handle it. If you're a youngster, or if you're elderly or feeble, or just a straight dimwit, do not attempt to perform a rock and roll autopsy. You might lose a finger.
True.
Chad, is it Kroger? Like the grocer? Yeah. Chad Kroger? Yeah. Maybe that's part of the problem. The man's name is Chad, which has become a pejorative, I think. Hasn't it?
Former Starbucks employee, by the way.
Oh my gosh, this guy ticks all the boxes. Sure, this guy is as on the nose as a 19-year-old Brady Quinn working shirtless at Abercrombie and Fitch. It doesn't get any more on the nose than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my god. I forgot about the Chad stigma. I forgot about that one.
Oh, it's the Karen, it's the male Karen equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Can I just say, and I know I'm getting older, and I really don't care whether young people think I'm out of touch or whatever. I don't really care. But can I just say, I hate all of this. I hate all of it. I hate the whole, I hate Karen memes. I hate Chad memes. I hate memes. I don't even like memes. I hate all of it. I hate the fact that words like tweeting and blogging and all these goofy weird combination of words like Bluetooth, I hate that they're a part of my vernacular now. I hate it.
Yep.
So I'm just old and crusty. If listen, insert Clint Eastwood soundbite here.
Get off my lawn.
It ain't going to get better. I'm only going to get crustier. I'm not looking for self-improvement. I take Maslow's hierarchy of needs and I wipe my ass with it. I don't want to get better. I don't want to improve. I look forward to getting crankier and grumpier and more closed-minded. I hope it happens. I want the warm embrace of cynicism to just envelop me totally and wash me away, man, as I shuffle off this mortal coil. Thank God I only have a quarter century left of this shit. And if this track is any indication of where rock and roll, the trajectory that rock and roll is on, holy hell. Thank God I grew up when I did, and I can't wait to be done. I wash my hands of it. This podcast is going to put this music to bed. It is going to be, Rico, as you know, when they have all those weird categories at the Grammys and none of them get TV time, you know, just pop and rap and a few others get TV time. Rock's going to be, well, it already is. It's one of those categories that doesn't get onto television, but
it's an off-camera top. It's an off-camera award category now.
It is absolutely going to be, and if it is already, but from here on out, it's never coming back. It is off-camera from here on out. It's going to be tucked somewhere in the awards for best spoken word, I don't know, spoken word documentary album about the rainforest, and it'll be tucked in between that and like blues jazz, the rock category.
Oh, and by the way, Scott's next cell phone upgrade is going to be one of those big giant black rotary telephones that you hang on your wall.
I would go back I would, because everybody just stares at their phones all the time. It's just annoying.
I know. They're little mini television news boxes.
Yeah, they're little mini, spend the rest Whatever. Of your life literally staring at the thing. It's like it's the entirety of anyone's life is just staring at the little 4-inch screen. Like that's it's for everybody, myself included.
We're living Wall-E. You know Wall-E, where everybody just floats around staring at their monitors all day, not interacting with each other? We're living that right now. Welcome to Wall-E.
We are. It blows.
Yeah, it does.
People used to get laid, man. Now they just look at porn and beat off.
Yeah, that's what we're relegated to, because in order to have any interaction with another person, that would require you to set your phone down for about 2.5 to 3 minutes.
Ain't happening. All right, let's talk about Chadley. Five categories. They are a rock and roll autopsy, blah, yeah. The fucking bah, five categories.
Holy shit.
They are gratuitous boomerism, excessive misogyny, wanton whiteness, malignant machismo, and culture vulturism. Rico, the band is Nickelback. The track is Rockstar. And what the hell is the title of this album again? Oh, it's got
All the Right Reasons. Yeah.
All right, Rico. Category one, gratuitous boomerism. Chadley and the Boys, Nickelback, how do you score?
Yeah, let me take my Prozac before we keep going with this episode. Boomerism songs about, well, here's the thing, dude. The excesses of celebrity, people don't write songs about it necessarily anymore, that I'm aware of anyways. But this shit is never getting old, man. In fact, it went from, in my limited perspective, in the 80s, we had a lot of rock and roll songs that were written in the 70s about this kind of a topic. Then it kind of shifted to rap, how, you know, money and chicks and all that other stuff. And I think it's kind of hovered in there someplace. But this topic about the desire for the privileges of being famous and celebrity, that shit is never going away, man. As long as there's rich people and as long as there's poor people wanting to be rich and being and having sour grapes about people who do get unearned privileges because of whatever fake celebrity they have, then this is going to be relevant, and it's going to be relevant for a long ass time. So this is going to get a big fat zero for me for boomerism.
So just for the record, Chad Kroeger, I guess we'll just look at his age since he seems to be the band leader. I guess his brother is in the band, or was Mike.
Mike.
Chad is exactly my age, born in 1974. Hmm. So Chadley and I are,
you guys are brothers in birth year.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little older. No, he's a little younger. Sorry. Yeah. I'm a little older. All right. I'm a little country and he's a little rock and roll. Yeah, man. Gratuitous boomerism. I mean, the subject matter, we've heard it before, right? I think of Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles. What was the, is it Ordinary Average Guy from Joe Walsh? Is that the song I'm thinking of? Metallica had The Memory Remains with Marian Faithful singing on it. This topic's been done a few times. Didn't Kid Rock do a song along these lines too?
I'm sure there's been the presidents wrote a song about this kind of thing, although more tongue in cheek. But this thing has been rapped about and sung about thousands of times over the decades. So, yeah, you're right. It's nothing new.
Are you ever jelly of people who have fame and fortune and wealth?
You know what? When I was younger, because, you know, naturally you want all the cool shit that comes with being rich and famous. On the other hand, what ruined it for me and what changed my mind is social media, dude. Like, now it's a big fat no, because these people, like, even before social media, they could barely breathe without the paparazzi. It's not the paparazzi anymore. I don't know, maybe it is, but it was a lot easier for them to get away with shit like decades ago before social media hit. But now that we have social media and everybody's got a fucking telephone with a camera on it, dude, these people can't take half a breath without 90,000 people tweeting about it and putting it up on TikTok and shit. So no, like, the little privacy that they had before, like Elvis, there was no such thing as a cell phone back when Elvis was getting mobbed by everybody. And that was fucking miserable. Put him in 2020, dude, with cell phones and social media. Fuck that, dude. There's no way. It's not for me. Being that famous and wanting all that cool ass privilege that comes with being rich and famous, not worth the complete removal of privacy, in my opinion. You?
Same. I think I changed as I got older, but it had nothing to do with social media. But I just grew out of it. I mean, when I was young, I think I looked at that and thought, oh man, that would be the life. And then as I got older, material things, and I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm fucking enlightened, I'm of average fucking intelligence, but like as I got older, the attractiveness of material things faded for me, and it really is not something that I hold a great deal of interest in. Would I like to just simply be able to comfortably pay my bills? That's about it. You know what I mean? I don't really need much beyond that, you know, week off once a year, be able to pay my bills on time. That's really about it, man. And all the other stuff, to your point, it comes with a lot of hairy bullshit. And I don't know that I don't have any interest in that, but I never get jealous of these guys. I never look and think, oh, I wish I had their life. You know,
no,
never, no way. Never occurs to me ever. I'm going to score it a zero. Chad is a Gen Xer. And sadly, as much as I hate to admit it, these guys were a grunge cover band prior to being Nickelback. This is the underbelly, the seedy underbelly of Generation X right here, sadly. So we are going to, and I'm not trying to pile on Nickelback, whatever, make a buck, but it's a zero. Let's move on.
Yeah, but before you say that, and maybe we save this for, you know what? Let's save it for the final category. Anyway, go ahead. Category two. Sorry.
Save it.
Yep. Save it.
All right, I'm clicking save. Okay. So I'm scoring at a zero. Category two, excessive misogyny. Enrico, I have lyrics, and my God, there's more lyrics to this song than fucking...
Than Homer. Famous people in the video.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the Iliad and the Odyssey reading through this thing. It's absolutely gigantic. Well,
hit me with a couple of bars.
You literally have to get through five paragraphs to get to the chorus, to where it's even the word, before the word rock star is even muttered. All right, Chad. Okay, let's read Chad's prose here. I'm through with standing in line to clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth and I'm never going to win. This life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be. Tell me what you want. I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in and a king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me. Ah, so what you need? I'll need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black jet with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet. Been there, done that. I want a new tour bus full of old guitars, my own star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine with me. So how you gonna do it? I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Okay, because we all just want to be big rock stars. Do you think anyone's tuned out yet?
Probably not, but it's just you and me, which is all right by me.
And live in hilltop houses, driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. And we'll all stay skinny because we just won't eat. And we'll hang out at the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's going to wind up there. Every Playboy bunny or bleach blonde hair and will, hey, I want to be a rock star, blah, blah. Okay, sorry.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep. All right. Any misogyny?
No, dude. I mean, there's a couple of mentions about that, maybe that topic, but it's nothing blatant. It just comes along with the territory of being in that lifestyle. And when you're in that lifestyle, dude, honestly, both parties are willing participants. And so, I don't know, you might feel different, but it's going to get a zero for me once again.
Yeah, I got to give it a zero too. I mean, just mentioning Playboy bunnies and bleach blonde hair. Look, they could have gone, when you're talking about like the excesses of rock and roll, they could have taken this like in the Motley Crue territory if they wanted to. So really, as dull as Dishwater as the band proves to be, they are lyrically as well. They don't they kind of work around the edges of rock stardom without really getting into, you know, booger sugar and boobs, right? So I'm gonna give it a zero. I feel like it's kind of safe.
You're right. I think the lyrics are pretty pretty cleverly written. I don't have a problem with this song lyrically. I think it's pretty cool. Pretty cool listen from that perspective anyway.
Yeah, they're not, I mean, they're not bad. It's just that if I was going to give like my, I think I could give my, if I wanted to say to my daughter, my youngest daughter, hey, you want to know what it's like to be a rock star? I could give her these lyrics to read and she would, there's nothing in it that's pushing the envelope, if you will, which is what right. rock music and rock stardom really is about, right? Excess.
Right.
And they kind of safely just nibble around the edges of right. explaining that. So it's not.
So they even make the lyrics as vanilla as the rest of their band is. So I guess maybe that's what we're saying, right?
I am saying that. Yeah, I mean, we saw rappers do this much better. You know, it's right, more entertaining.
Right. Go listen to Eazy-E. He'll fill you in.
All right, so I'm scoring it a zero as well. The song is Rockstar. The band is Nickel Burp. Nice. The category, Wanton Whiteness. Rico, how do you score?
Yeah, super white. They're a Canadian band, which, in my opinion, the Canadian white band, they get like 3/4 of a point for that. This song kind of has a little country twang to it, which takes that up to a full. Yeah, there's a lot of whiteness in this song. Super white shit. Full one for me, dude. All the way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Canada is aggressively white, so they are from Canada. So for that, it's worthy of a one alone. It's like four white guys in the band. We'll give them a one for that. For this, the double whammy of Canada and four middle-aged white guys, pretty hardcore white. Lyrically, like I said, they somehow managed to take debauchery and excess of rock and roll and just make it mildly clever and kind of uninteresting. And you know, we've heard I could argue that maybe this isn't super white because we hear a lot of braggadocious kind of behavior in like blues. We hear this sort of subject,
true, matter,
like we said, in rap. So it has, we've heard this in country music. We've heard these kind of lyrics. So this kind of like pollinates all the genres, but when handled as whitely as Nickelback chooses to handle it here, they somehow make it, yes, they somehow make it a little dull somehow. I mean, it's just kind of cleverly written, but like you're talking about a genre of music that really had, that literally has half a century of excess behind it. Its biggest stars are constantly banging 11-year-olds. And yeah, this is all the more interesting that they can manage to make this song.
Yeah.
Talking about a genre that is just riddled with heroin abuse, drugs, booger sugar, excess, debauchery, sex of all kinds with all ages, all races, creeds, colors, height, weight, gender, everything you can possibly imagine. And yet we get,
they seem to turn it into vanilla pudding.
Yes. As this line, this is as much as they push the envelope as they somehow manage to rhyme tassels with assholes.
Well, they're really pushing the envelope there, aren't they?
Yes. So they'll have to beep that on 97.5 when they play it later.
Oh, Christ.
All right. Malignant Machismo, category 4, Nickelback, Rockstar. Rico, how do you?
Yeah, dude. Like we were just saying, this is the most fucking milquetoast vanilla hard rock band like in the history of civilization. There's nothing malignantly machismo about this. I don't really have anything else to say. This is, in some cases, giving it a zero for malignant machismo would be a good thing. But in this case, it's not. So, but I'm giving it a zero for malignant machismo because there just is none of that in here.
Yeah, I'm going to stretch. I agree, and I should give it a zero as well, but I'm going to give it a 0.5, and I'll tell you why. I just get annoyed at the vocal. For one thing, it is a man. Chad has a manly voice. He's got a very masculine vocal.
Yeah.
But it sure is does. Also, it's just the delivery of it. He's got a distortion to his voice, a natural distortion. He's not affecting his voice in any way. It's not phony. He doesn't yarl. So there's none of that in there.
Thank God.
He's got a good voice, but what he has is the most, how to put it, it is kind of the voice of modern rock. All male rock singers sound like this guy, and he sounds like all male modern rock singers. I can't tell Chad Kroeger from Chris Daughtry from the fucker who sings for Third Eye Blind. I can't tell any of them apart. They might as well just, you might as well just take them all and like mold them together into the same lump of clay. I can't tell any of them apart. They are just what, there is literally nothing distinctive about the modern rock and roll vocal. I can't tell any of these guys apart. And to me, Chad is once again like the poster child for that.
Wow. So are we saying that Chad is the pioneer trailblazer of the modern rock vocalist?
Is he
the Phil Anselmo of the aughts, whereas Phil Anselmo paved the way for angry metal, like Chad paved the way for modern rock vocalists?
No, we're not doing that. I can't go there, man. I'm not willing. I'm just going to say that they all emerged from the primordial sludge at the same time. And I can't give like one of them was ahead of the other. It's all I know is that at some point, Third Eye Blind and Matchbox 20 and Chadley and fucking Chris Daughtry emerged out of the sludge and crawled on four legs. And then so it shall be written. So that's all I know. I'm just going to say they all came into being at the same time.
Got it.
These Gen X ears can't tell any of them apart. So I'm giving it a 0.5 for the manly Chadley vocal.
Got it. Vocals are manly, though.
He does have a manly vocal. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Our final category, the track is Rockstar, the band is Nickelback. One of the most either fairly or unfairly maligned modern rock and roll acts. Culture vulturism. This should be interesting. Rico, how do you score?
Yeah, I feel like, and this is what I wanted to say, but I wanted to get your thought on this. You know how we talked about like the really stale late 80s hair bands were just kind of like riding the wave of the really better ones that were ahead of them and kind of missed the boat? I feel like that's kind of like Nickelback here. They're like riding the wave of grunge and what was really good post-grunge afterwards. And I feel like they were kind of, in a way, riding that wave, but too late. But having said that, there's nothing unique about the music of this song. It's so fucking vanilla and milquetoast. The subject matter has been written about for decades and decades and decades. And the delivery is, there's nothing unique about, there's nothing, dude. It's just, it's so cardboard and vanilla and milquetoast and stale. I'm giving it a full on big fat uno for this one for sure, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I, God, what am I going to do with this? Yeah, I got to give it a one as well. You know, you're talking about a band. It's kind of funny because this band like formed in the mid 90s. So they should have come out like around the same time as like the Foo Fighters. But it feels like they didn't really become a thing until well into the aughts, you know?
It's true. Like 90, know, like the, like 96, I think was when they self-released an album. In 96, and then then that one famous song, This Is How You Remind Me.
Yeah, 2001. Came out 90,
yeah, was it 2001? I think Roadrunner signed them in 99, and then that song came out in 2001.
Yep, so, 2001.
Yep.
That was a big hit. I actually think that's their best song. I actually think that's a well-crafted, well-written, well-performed song. I think it's their best song. It's certainly their biggest hit. It's got good hooks. It's not amazing. It doesn't tick any new boxes or do anything new. It's just kind of interesting that when you look at like the kind of like the evolution of rock and roll. You come out, you come into the 2000s coming out of nu metal, you know, run by like Linkin Park and what's the hot dog band? Fucking Fred Durst, Space and All.
Shit.
What come on, dude. It's they're a biscuit.
Limp Bizkit, that's right.
Yeah. So you had all this like nu metal shit, and that was kind of divisive, you know, Korn, but it was popular, but a lot of people didn't like it. So people, you know, but it was big at the time. And then in the wake of that, you kind of get this, which is kind of surprising. Don't you think that in the wake of nu metal, you'd be left with like Breaking Benjamin, Three Doors Down, and Daughtry and
fucking Blink and stuff like that.
Imagine, well, even Blink 182 I'd put before it, but yeah, Imagine, well, Dragons, true. But you know,
well, maybe those other bands, you know, especially like fucking Limp Bizkit and Korn, like those bands were really fucking out of the box and edgy and controversial, and maybe, I don't know, maybe the pendulum just swung really too far in the other direction. I don't know. I don't really have an explanation.
I don't either, but it just seems to me like the beginning, and this could just be old Scott, and maybe I just need to listen to Mark's podcast, Songs That Don't Suck, so I can get hip to some new music, but it just seemed true. Like it just all stopped being interesting at this point, you know, that yeah. It was just vanilla. So it's ironic to hear a guy singing about rock stardom who just might be like the last one through the door. It's like, hey, Chad, don't leave the light on the way out or whatever. The
yeah, dude, is, right? Remember, like, fucking SOAD was peaking right about now, weren't they?
System, yeah, somewhere in there, but they've been gone for a while, right? So Chadley's still going at it, right?
Nickelback is still putting out. They're still together doing shit. They are.
All right, actually. Well, I'm going to give it a one just for being unoriginal.
hence the title of the category.
All right, man, let's tally this mug up. So
all right.
What the hell's the name of this song again? Rockstar, Nickelback.
Rockstar.
I've got 2.5. Rico, what have you got, sir?
I've got 2.0.
Oh my gosh, for a grand total of
4.5, right in the middle, dude. Hey, listen, I had no idea where this was going, especially since Nickelback is so polarizing as a band, but it's science, dude, and it always works. So I guess that's where it should be placed, because the science never lies.
Yeah, I mean, I had a hunch this ultimately wasn't going to amount to much. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
I don't know.
The score is right in the middle, and not on either end, which is about as vanilla and milk toast as the band itself. So, pretty fitting, right?
I wonder if Nickelback is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame when their time is here. Isn't it odd? They could potentially be like a Hall of Fame band. Think about
it. They're eligible. They're eligible now. 25, if you count 96, they're eligible now.
Oh my
god! Isn't it 25 years? Right?
Yeah, 25 years after first record, I think. So I don't know when their first record came out.
Well, they self released in 96. If you count that,
self release, baby.
Yeah. So if you count that, dude, how about that? The 2025 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Nickelback. How about that? Wouldn't that be something? Like how would the ceremonies go? Like just everybody just sit around playing canasta or something?
Yes.
Like super uneventful, nothing, you know, worth noting, just sitting around shooting some rummy or something, right?
Did you know this guy was married to Avril Lavigne? Did you know that?
What?
Chadley was, yeah.
I think I might have known that, actually, now that you mention it, but I've totally forgot about that. Wow, she is really, really edgy for that milquetoast, dude.
Yeah, she's
like, that's That's like a not a really, it's like oil and water, right?
She's French Canadian. They were married 2 years from 2013 to 2015. Yeah. She's been married a couple times.
Dude, the Habs all stick together up there, right?
I guess, man.
Les habitants.
She's kind of, is she a rocker? I always see her picture with the guitar.
She's like super edgy rocker girl. Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have to do an Avril song coming up.
We
might
could.
As well just spend some time with the Krogers.
We will have our Canadian series. We'll do like Avril and the Guess Who and Voivod and, you know, whoever else is from Canada. Bieber. Maybe we'll throw some Bryan Adams, throw some Bieber in there, maybe.
The Biebs. Oh, God. All right. Well,
that's it, man.
That's it. All right.
I'm sorry to force you to interact with 2023 technology for this long. I apologize for that. I know you'd like to get back to your telegram and your Morse code machine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's with as shitty as the world is, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that it's not better.
It's not. Just watch WALL-E. It's awful.
I've seen WALL-E.
That movie's depressing, and I never want to watch it again. Because it puts a big fat mirror up to your face to show you what you're turning into.
When my kids were super young, I had to watch every fucking Disney or Pixar movie. It was awful.
Yeah.
So
do you have one? Do you have one that you remotely enjoy?
No, I mean, I didn't like, I mean, I hated all of them. It was all just, I had to endure them. I didn't enjoy any of them. I just stared at the screen and waited for it to end.
It's not a dude with a Kirk mask on with a big giant butcher knife. So
no, they're just all the same. It's like a parent dies. There's some trauma. Listen, Rico, you can take every movie that's ever been written ever and break it down into three categories. Okay. Act one, you have your main character who has something. Act two, your main character loses something. And act three, they get it back, but learn a lesson. They get it back, but learn a lesson. That's act three. And you can literally apply that. Now, from now on, when you watch movies, I want you to think of that. And you'll see that that's every fucking movie ever written. And none more so than a goddamn Disney Pixar movie.
Yeah. Otherwise known as the hero's journey, Scott, right? Isn't
yes.
that what that is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Every movie is the hero's journey.
That's what this podcast is.
Except there's no lesson learned. We keep making the same bullshit mistakes over and over again. It's the hero's journey without the heroism.
That's true. God damn it. All right, man. Well, thanks, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Good night now.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, it was like a mistake. There's no mystique anymore.
Oh, after midnight, rocking to the dawn, loving to the morning. I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at RNRAutopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Before you go, if you like heavy metal and stories, then you'll love Battle of the Bands, the narrative form metal podcast that unpacks the biggest rivalries in rock and metal history. Season 1 took in Megadeth versus Metallica. And Season 2 went across the divide to explore the beef between Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. It's like Business Wars, but metal. Find Battle of the Bands wherever you listen to your podcasts or visit battleofthebandspod.com.